me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's good to get together. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. Similar to last week's lesson, I gave things that strengthen us. I made a list about 7 or 8 things that needs to strengthen me. I want to share that with you. Kind of a continuation. Keying on that verse in verse 9 of the text that was read to us. Let's not grow weary while doing good. Don't do that. For in due season we shall reap. Yes, we shall. If there's a condition, we do not lose heart. So I titled the lesson with that last phrase. Could have been not grow weary, but we don't lose heart. Don't do that. Wow. I'm listing 4 things in your notes that will help us to not lose heart or to keep us strengthened. 1 is in Colossians 3, verse 1, 1 from last week's lesson, but seek those things that are above. That'll help me to stay on the right track. Don't lose heart. 2nd and 3rd are 2 examples. The example of the Apostle Paul and the example of Jesus. Then the last one is a phrase from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. I want you to know this. We'll kind of emphasize that. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I need to know that. Otherwise, I might lose heart. So let's take a look at these things. And by way of introduction, just by definition of that word weary or lose heart, that's by one of the definitions. I don't want to become weary and I don't want to be faint-hearted. I don't want to be worn out or tired out or depleted in strength. Let's not grow weary or lose heart. I don't want to be burned out when I'm doing good. Or drained, done in. Run down, sapped, weakened. I don't want those things to affect me when I'm doing good. In other words, I don't want to lose heart. The text means that you can get tired from doing good, but don't get tired of doing good. There's a difference. It means, though, yes, take time to refresh yourself and recharge and power up and take a break. Try to get your former vigor, if that's what you want. You can stop for a moment, but then get back to doing good. But don't we be weary of doing good? We all get tired from working, but I hope we don't get tired of working. A poem that I use quite often, but I'd like to hear it again. Title, Don't Quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. It's the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. You can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. We all experience that. Things get worse. But it says don't get weary and don't lose heart while you're doing good. we find in verse 10, the next verse after this one, when Paul says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men. Let's do good. Especially to those of the household of faith. So don't get weary of doing good. Don't lose heart. It's explained when it says, what's doing good? Well, in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning of verse 9, one of my favorite verses, the Hebrew writer says, beloved, we're confident of better things from you. Have that confidence. Expectation of better things. Then he says, yes, things that accompany salvation. Oh, those things that we do that are good. Things that accompany salvation. And he explains, or he gives a couple examples. He says, God's not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. God doesn't forget. He says, in that you've ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Don't give up. Don't get weary. Don't lose heart. He says that you do not become sluggish. Don't get sluggish while doing good. In ministering. In helping. And then the last phrase of the verse, Hebrews 6, verse 12. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitate those those Bible examples that we have. But then make it more practical and kind of look around. Look at that one over there and that one. Look at what they're doing. Imitate that. Don't lose faith. Lose heart. Don't grow weary. Because he says we're going to reap in due season. Give up. There's other admonitions. I've just listed the verses for you in your notes. But I'll read them. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he spoke a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. There's our phrase. Pray and don't lose heart. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, Paul said, since we have this ministry and we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. Well, there's a motivation. Because God's blessed us with something that we can't provide for ourselves. And it's something that we need. We need mercy. So I'm not going to lose heart. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, but as for you, brethren, do not go weary in doing good. He said it again. In Hebrews 12, consider him, meaning Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Oh, consider what Jesus went through. We're going to get to that. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I don't want the struggles of my life, the hardships, the difficulties to cause me to grow weary in Christian living. And when I become that way, or perhaps that's maybe affecting me, Paul in his last verse says, consider him who endured. Oh, I want to endure. Don't let the troublesome times beat me up. So let's take a look at four things I've suggested as a remedy. Four considerations that will help us to not grow weary. To not lose heart. Number one, seek those things that are above. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you are raised with Christ, that's me and you. We've been raised with Christ. Seek, put some effort in. Give it some gusto. Seek those things that are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. So I put in your notes just a little slogan. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. If you set your eyes on the obstacles, you set your eyes on the troubles, on the hardships and those kinds of things, you take your eyes off the goal, when you know you're going to walk in the direction you're looking. Paul said that a remedy for not growing weary is set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. If that's where my affections are, if that's where my mind is located, I'm going to walk in that direction. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. When I was going to college, I wanted a diploma. I had to go 4 years. Don't see that as an obstacle. That contributed to the goal of the diploma. I wanted to become a school teacher. The job I had, I said, I don't want this job. I think I want to become a school teacher. California required a fifth year in education courses. All right. That's not an obstacle. That contributes to me to the goal of becoming a school teacher. And then to get another credential, I had to go 2 nights a week and 1 Saturday a month for the next year. It's not an obstacle. I want the teaching credential. These are things that were going to help me. They were going to contribute to the goal. I want to go to heaven. I don't see worship attendance as an obstacle or a hardship or difficulty. I'm like the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. This is going to help me on my road to heaven. Not an obstacle to pray. Not an obstacle to have Bible study. Not an obstacle to minister and to do good to others, and especially those of the household of faith. That's not a difficulty. That's not hardship. That's not something that gets in my way. That's something I want to do because my eye is on the goal. Set your affections on things above. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off the goal. If you think attendance is a hardship, you've taken your eyes off the goal. I know I've been talking to those who are present. That's the idea. Ought to be easy to come to worship assembly. Should be easy. Okay, let me go on. Number two. 2 and 3, kind of a life. Example of Paul. I think Paul, my question was, I put in your notes, Paul, you should have become weary. Look at how he describes himself. In 2 Corinthians 4, we're hard pressed. Have you ever been hard pressed? They said, we're not crushed. Oh. Yeah, but you're hard pressed. He said, we're perplexed. Yeah, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted. Oh, man, that hurts. But I'm not forsaken. He said, struck down. Man. Oh, but I'm not destroyed. There's still life. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's 4 things. Paul, you've been pressed, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. Why don't you give it up? How's that Christianity working for you? Oh. Then he says in 2 Corinthians 6, he says, in all things, as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting. Now he's just given us a list of 4 things. Now he adds 10 more to it. We're up to 14. How's that Christianity working for you, Paul? I'd be hard-pressed to find a handful of things that trouble me. I have to sit down and think about it. Paul already has 14 things that he's listed. That would cause... I'd get weary, Paul, if I were you. I'd lose heart. Oh, but wait a minute, we're not finished. In 2 Corinthians 11, now you can count these if you want. There's 25 of them. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. Night and day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness, toil, sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides other things which come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now add those up. There were four things in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There were 10 in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and 25 or more in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That's 39 plus. See, I can't count 39 things that trouble me. Are you going to get weary over two or three things? Are you going to lose heart over a handful of things? So, Paul, how'd you get through it? 39 plus, and I have five. How'd you get through it? Oh, Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Set your mind on things above. Wow. Seek those things that are above. Well, that's one way, Paul. Thank you for sharing that with me. How else, Paul? In Philippians 3, verse 12, he said, not that I've already attained, haven't done that, or I'm already perfect, but I press on. Oh. So, Paul, how'd you get through it? Oh, I seek and I press. That was going to take some effort, isn't it? If Christianity was easy and solved all of our problems, we'd have a house full. We'd have to meet at the stadium. Wow. I press. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. See, a lot of people don't want to pay the price for success, but they'll pay the price for failure. Paul says, I'm going to pay the price for success. I'm going to seek. I'm going to press. I'm going to fight. I'm going to finish. And I'm going to keep all those things. Third is the example of Jesus. Jesus, you could have become weary too, right? Here's what things that happened to Jesus. John 6, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Well, that's discouraging. Preacher, Bible class teacher, family member, when loved ones falter, what else, Jesus? In John 7, verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, my life's not threatened. But Jesus' life was. In Luke 6, verse 46, he said, why do you call me Lord and do not the things I say? There are people that don't listen to you. That's discouraging. Yeah, I tend to lose heart. Look at the empty pews. Yeah, that's cause to lose heart. When Jesus was at the Passover meal, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Matthew 26, verse 21, said, while they were eating, he said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Jesus, how's it going? Well, the disciples are going back. People don't want to kill me. They're not listening to what I say, and one's going to betray me. But I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to lose heart. What keeps you going, Jesus? John 5, verse 30. I can do nothing of myself. Not me. My strength is not in me. Because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's how he stayed. I'm going to seek the Father's will. John 6, verse 38, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That keeps me going. Jesus said when he's on the cross, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Yeah. But Jesus, how'd you do it? It's not my will. The Father's will strengthens me. I want to do his will. Disciples went back. You have people who want to kill you. They're not listening to what you say. And their one's going to betray you. And you're still going to go on?
Yes.
I want to ask, so what's your problem? And the last one. You know what keeps me going? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. But thanks be to God. Gives us the victory. All the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, or I can take it personally. Therefore, Brian, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing. What do you want me to know? That your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's what keeps me going. My labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here are things I hope will help again. You think you're growing weary. You're starting to lose heart. You're not interested in worship attendance or Bible study. When that happens, boy, the warning signals ought to go ding, 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 ding. Look out. Well, here's what you need to do. Seek those things that are above. Ask Paul, how'd you get through that? 40 plus hardships, and I can't even count a handful. He has 40 plus. Jesus, how'd you get through? And I'm going to list four things about Jesus. How'd you keep going? Oh, the Father's will. And I know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. My priest is going to be next week. Just a reminder. But always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation, a song of invitation. For you who are not a member of the New Testament church, you're not a Christian, you haven't obeyed the gospel message. When Jesus commissioned his apostles to go into all the world, don't leave anybody out. You preach the gospel, a good news message to everybody. Don't hold back. Tell the world, he that believes is baptized shall be saved. Tell them all. Tell them all. So at the close of a lesson, you now obey that invitation. You're subject to it. That's your desire. That's your thing.